So good morning. In the first session after the keynote, my name is Martin Thirion. I'm user experience evangelist with Microsoft in the Netherlands. Today I want to talk about building your custom video player using the Silverlight Media Framework. Who is actively working with media or media players? Okay, and who already did something with Silverlight Media Framework? Only one, so a lot to talk about. Okay, so the Silverlight Media Framework has an acronym SMF, also called SMURF, and that's a framework that was launched somewhere around 2 years ago. 2 weeks ago at MIX, we got a name change. It's not longer Silverlight Media Framework, it's now the Microsoft Media Platform Player Framework. It's part of the media platform, and to give you a brief overview of what the platform is, it are already existing, most of them are existing products, some of them are new, but it's a complete platform if you want to do anything with media, for just put media on the web, on the server side, have the services like Windows Server IaaS Media Services or Azure. Tools like Expression Encoder for encoding video and audio, Microsoft Play Ready for digital rights management. On the client side, Silverlight HTML5 support. We now also have a porting kit for enabling smooth streaming and Play Ready on other platforms than the Windows platform, so also for iOS or Linux. And we have a couple of frameworks, four frameworks currently. The first one, Video Editor, is a rough, formerly known as the Rough Cut Editor. So it's for editing videos and creating a manifest so it can be played out as a new video clip. Content Manager, this is an environment where you can store all your videos. You have all the management and the workflows to encode it and transcode it, etc., and to serve it out to an audience. Audience Insights, the fourth one, is more of a health monitoring environment, so you can get all the data back, what happens at all the clients' players, so you know if there's a problem. And the third one we're going to talk to today is the Player Framework. The Video Editor and the Player Framework are already out there. The Content Manager and Audience Insight will be released pretty soon. So this is the Microsoft Media Platform. Now, we're talking today about the Player Framework. And what is the Player Framework? Well, simply said, it's a video player based on Silverlight. So it's easy to use the video player and to put your videos on the web. It's also an established framework, and I'll show a few samples in a minute. But it has been used by big setups already, for instance, the Olympics, and some other where there was a big audience. This player framework was created to use a player for that audience. So we know it's a really robust player framework. It's open source, so you can find all the sources. It's on Codeplex, smf.codeplex.com, and it's feature rich. What's important to understand is that the Silverlight Media Framework or the Player Framework is created with a plugin structure. It's based on Microsoft Extensibility Framework or MEF, and it uses plugins for most of the functionality. So there are a few core components, and the rest is added through the plugin structure. So, for instance, there's a plugin for playing media, progressive media, or streaming. There's another plugin for smooth streaming. So what the plugin structure will do, when it needs the smooth streaming element, it will draw that in through the plugin structure and run it within the framework. And I'll show a bit more details of that also during this presentation. Also, new features are also added through this plugin framework. So you're fairly safe when you build your solution on top of the framework, that when a new version comes, you can make use of those new functionalities without changing your code. And of course, you can write your own plugins as well if you have extra needs for extra functionality in your video environment. These are a few of the samples where the player framework was used. So there are a few old ones like Roland Garros in 2009 and the Olympics back in 2008, but also the Winter Olympics last year, 2010, also the same player framework was used. And actually, most of the frameworks that you saw on the media platform were used in that environment to serve out the video and to do the measuring, etc. Here you see fairly simple players. They have some different look and feel, but the basics of it is fairly simple. But also more complex environments like this are built on top of the same player. So here you see the framework being used in an environment where you have HD quality video with multiple camera angles, live insertion of advertisements. They have extensive use of the player markers, so you can see what's happening in the game, for instance. This is for Sunday night football in the US. So these are a few samples where the player framework has been used, and therefore has got a lot of features in the framework that can be used. Things like, in the core is smooth streaming, but it also supports progressive download or streaming on the Windows Media Server. You have things like DVR support, advertising, picture-in-picture. New feature is 3D support, so you can have use of red and green glasses, or red and blue glasses, for instance, or use the active shutter glasses from NVIDIA, so you have real 3D video. That's supported by the framework. There's all kind of logging, multiple language audio tracks. All these things are part of the framework, and you can make your selection what you need and what you actually want to use. Now, I have a number of demos. I think five demos in this presentation. So I'll be a lot of in code during the presentation. There are a number of slides here that summarize what happened during the demo, but it's more for reference afterwards when you want to relive what happened during the demo. First, by starting showing on Codeplex where you can get the player framework, formerly known as Silverlight Media Framework. So you go to smf.codeplex.com. There's some information here also what the player framework is all about. There's some version changes, what happens there. When you go to the downloads, I don't have an internet connection. So when you would go to the downloads, you see the downloads there. The current version is version 2.5. It's strange, by the way, but okay, let's try it again. The current version is version 2.5. This has the 3D capabilities, for instance, added. There's a new advertisement framework added to this version, and of course some bug fixes, etc. Only the current set today on Codeplex is not complete yet. The setup for the assemblies is not there yet, so you have to get the assemblies yourself, put it somewhere, and use it in your application. The setup will be there, hopefully very short. And then you also have templates for Visual Studio, for instance, so you can have a fast start of your application. Another thing, if you're going to work with the Silverlight Media Framework or with the Player Framework, make sure that you also download the sources, not that you would want to change the sources or go into there. You can if you want, of course, but there's a sample project that's there that you can use. That's what you see here, Silverlight Media Framework samples. And here are also samples on styling the player, for instance. So if you want, for instance, your playlist on the top, there's a description at the bottom that shows what to do in Expression Blend, what the XAML is that you need, or for instance, when you want to have your buttons at the top, what do you need to do in Blend and in XAML. So there are some instructions here, how to use captions, for instance, or what to do with logging, playlist items. So there are a number of sample code snippets here that helps you to better use the player framework. So that's part, again, of the sources, so make sure you download that as well. Just a second. Almost forgot my cheat sheet. Right. So just to start off with a simple player, let's open up Visual Studio. I've installed the templates and the assemblies, etc. So when I do new project in Visual Studio, when I go to Silverlight, you also have, well, of course, the standard templates, but also SMF Progressive Download Application, SMF Smooth Streaming Application. Does anyone not know what smooth streaming is? Okay, I'll show you in a minute. I won't go into detail, but it's not that complex. So I'll select Smooth Streaming Application, just leave the default here. And when I create it, it asks me if I want to have a separate website or not. You can choose one or both. It doesn't matter for setting up your player. So all the references are added. One page is added here. I'll open it up in Visual Studio in XAML. I have to warn you that if you can use the setup and you use that, you use the template, you won't see as many playlist items in it as I have in my sample here. That's because I tweaked the template a bit for this presentation. I added more samples, otherwise it will take me too much time. So you will have one playlist item by default in the template. Now, when I run this project, you see the result of the player framework. So this is the player. Of course, you have a part where the video is played. That's a bit obvious for a video player. And at the bottom, you have the controls. In this case, you might have seen it when I switch a bit further. You see that it's now high quality again. The idea of smooth streaming is that it has various bit rates on the server, and logic on the client will determine which bit rate is best for showing at that moment, and that depends on the bandwidth, the CPU, the resolution of the video on screen, things like that. And every 2 seconds this calculation is made, and it will change the resolution of the video without the user noticing it. So you don't have to select, do you want high quality or low quality? You just have the best quality available for your environment. That's the principle of smooth streaming. So I have the player here. For instance, I can also select, let me back up a bit, select another audio stream here. I go to audio director, for instance, and then you hear the director command about creating this video and etc. Or you can also go to the Spanish audio track, and then all the audios in Spanish, obviously. So you have all these controls here. I can also have things like slow motion. So you see, when I click the slow motion, I'm immediately in slow motion mode. This is all part and implemented in the framework. Or I can skip parts, go a bit forward, and then it skips really blocks further down. So this is the basics of the player. There's also standard a playlist here. Because I have the multiple playlist items, you see all the items here, and simply by, you see the current one playing, and when I select another one, you see the other video starts playing. So just some default stuff that you can use in the player framework, but very, very powerful to use. Now, just to show what you can do with the player in Expression Blend, so open up the same page in Expression Blend. And of course, you see the same player here. When I select the player and I go to the properties pane, you have the normal things like the brushes and the text and etc. But there are some extra properties here, especially for the player. For instance, when you go to the common properties, you have a playlist collection here. And when I open that up, you see all the playlist items here. And for every playlist item, you can set the properties on the right-hand pane. So here you see all the different URLs for the media sources and the text. And you can have some extra things here like media markers and chapter markers and things like that. So this is a simple thing to use if you want to have a predefined playlist. Most of the time you want a playlist that's more dynamic, it comes from a backend side, so you want to maybe use data binding or stuff like that. Another thing that's important to notice when you scroll a bit down is you have player, no, not the player configuration, the player controls here. And here you can already do something with the UI of the player. For instance, if I don't want to have a playlist, now the playlist now is hidden, so I have a hidden and visible, so it's switched with the button that I used, but I can also disable it. So you see the button is no longer visible, and I can't show the playlist. You can use it, you can do it in code, but not by default in the user interface. Or for instance, you can also define things about if you want to do some logging. Let's say you want some information logging. Then you want the log to be visible. You can enable the logging console, for instance. Now that's transparent over the video. Let me show it for a second. So the player runs again, and then you see what's happening inside of the player. The state changes, or when the video is cranked up or cranked down, when different streams are selected, or when I press pause and play again. You see all the state changes that's happening there, and there's a lot of information in here, and you can select which information you want to see. So that's easily done just by setting properties of the of the player framework. Let's remove this again, make that hidden. Of course, I can, because this is a control just on my window, I can also do something like let's make it a bit smaller and add a button here like this. And I want to have the click event, and when I want to do a click, it goes to result. I'm here, and I want, I have to give it a name, of course. Go back to blend, give the player a name, call it player. Oops, sorry. Right here, yes, all. Say player dot, nope, this dot player. Doesn't see it yet. Let me recompile. This dot play. I didn't rename it, did I?
You renamed the button.
Yes. That's a very fine observation. Thank you. The player here. Save it. Go back to here. Yes, all. Yeah. Now let's try it again. This dot player. Dot login, for instance, is visible. And when I run it now here from Visual Studio, I have the player again. Starts playing, and when I click this, the login is enabled. So you also have access to the control outside of the control to enable things or to start playing the video, etc. Okay. Now, one sample of, I already talked about the features of the advertisement, for instance, that's new there. I have a short sample here. When the video starts, you see that the bar here is blocked. I cannot move the thing or play or fast forward. This is an advertisement. It tells me your video will automatically start in 21 seconds, unless I beat him with creating the puzzle. And then it says, yeah, you made it. And the video starts again. Now, the advertisement was a Silverlight application. So within the framework, it showed it within the window of the video. It blocked the controls to show the video. So there's some measuring there. There's another thing that's done here when I scroll a bit further. And it's now past the point of 30 seconds. It starts another advertisement, and also the image you see on the right hand side with Xbox Live and the thing here, those are also advertisements coming from within the player, and it's defined where it should place it in the container. When I click on the video, for instance, I don't have internet connectivity, but it goes to the advertisement on the web, so it will show that that information. So again, this is also a very powerful building into the player framework if you want to use the advertisements within the player. With the version 2.5, when you download it, there's a document also there with a complete description of how it works. It's based on Fast, Mast, and VPaid. So it's described how you can use it and what you can do to use it in your player environment. Okay, so that was final new project and some basic functionality that you saw of the player. How to make it your player? So by default it has a look and feel and all kind of functionality, but you probably want to tailor it to your environment because you have some other color settings or you have another idea of how the control should look like or how the player should behave. Now to do that you need to understand like the magic of the player. You need to understand the plugin model, that it uses plugins and where it fits into your user interface. You need to understand about templates and template parts. But then you can change the user interface. Well, we've already seen you can change which controls to show. Already saw that with the control settings in Blend. But you can also dig into the template to change the which buttons are used, or change the colors, or the layout, or even use your own design in the player. You can also change internal behavior of the player. I won't go into that in this session. The thing is that you then have to just inherit from the base class of SMF player, and then you have all kind of internal events and overrides that you can use, so you can dig into the internals of the player without going into the source code of the complete player. And of course you can write your own plugins. Now the basics of UI and change of basic colors. I've been struggling with the player myself, and especially with the framework, how to get started and where it is. Once you know it, it's pretty simple, but it took me some time to get started. One of the things is, and because of the lack of internet connection, I can't show it now, there's documentation on the CodePlex portal. There's a help file that you can download. You saw the samples that I pointed to, but that's about it. And there's not too much detail in, if I want to do this, you have to do this and this and this and this in your code or in your templates. So some information is not out there yet, and that will be available in the near future as well. So when we go to Blend and have a look at the player again, let's remove these things here, make the player full screen again. Right. So this is the player. Now to change the look and feel of the player, that's done by, like you would do with any control, by using the template. So just select edit template, and in this case edit a copy. It will copy the current template. It's advisable to put it in a separate resource file, because there's a lot of styles there and settings and visual states, etc. So you get a lot of code otherwise in your main page, and it's also easier to reuse, of course, when it's in a separate dictionary. So create a new resource dictionary, leave the defaults, that's okay. Leave the default name, that's okay as well. And now it will copy the template. On the left-hand side, you can get a better idea now of the structure of the player. You see here the player root. For instance, here's the media presenter element. This is the area where the video is being played. And when you look here at the top right, you see that it's a content control. So it's not a media element or anything. That's because this is one of the hooks for the plugin architecture. So when the streaming element is used, or the progressive element is used, or the smooth streaming element is used, that plugin is loaded, and the the element that's playing the video is then inserted into this content control. So that's all handled by the plugin structure. You see areas for the caption, for the poster, for instance, where the video isn't playing, you can show the poster, for instance. The logging display, you see here, that's just a transparent grid with the text on top of it that you saw. Now, the most time we'll be using this controller container. That's the bottom part where all the buttons are and where the interactivity is happening. Now, let's say you want to change the colors that are used in the player. So it's now a bit blue-gray-like, and you want to change the color. One of the things that I expected is that you go to the resources of the player and just start changing the resources, and everything will change. Well, that's not the case. There are a few fixes you need to do. Before you start to do anything, you have to open up the player controls and go into the template of two controls. That's the play element. So just say edit template and edit a copy. And we'll give a name, that's fine, okay. So that's there, and I can just scope out again. And the other thing, the other control I need to do that with is the volume control, volume element. That's the where you can set the volume and change it. And that one I will edit the copy as well. Now the reason why I do this is because those templates point to a resource, and I want them all to use the same resource. If you start changing your resources, and you're gonna change one of these buttons later, or the template for those buttons later, it will see a conflict in naming resolution. And it says, do you want to add new resources or override them? So if you add them, you have multiple instances of those resources. And if you override them, you override everything you did before. So that's why start by doing this first. There are two buttons, so I scope up again to be in the player again. There are two buttons here that have a bit of a strange thing, and I found out that they were drawn the wrong way. So they were drawn from bottom to top, and all controls were drawn from top to bottom. And you will see a strange behavior if you don't change that. So what you have to do there is go to the slow motion element, go to the template here, select edit current, and we're here. We're going to change the backgrounds. For a few of them, we have to make some changes. We go to the properties of the backgrounds. First, we have to flip it because of the horizontal vertical problem that I just mentioned. Go to the transform and just flip it the y-axis. We also do that for the hover. We flip that as well. And there's one extra thing we do. When we look at the properties of the background, you see that it doesn't use resource, but it has its own definition of the gradient here. So we'll just select the gradient, the resource for that. And for the stroke, we'll select the resource as well, the button stroke gradient. The same is done for the hover. We use that, the stroke, and the fill. Gradients. That's there. Now we need to have the button pressed for that. Right. Okay, so we have the background of that, and we need to do it with this one as well. This is a freaky one. We flip the y-axis, and we'll change the colors here as well. So just to select the button base gradient and for the stroke. So actually, these are some fixes you make to the template that's currently available out of the box. And hopefully this will change in the near future, and then you don't need to make these changes anymore. But if you do this, I found that it makes your life a bit easier. So we have done that now for the slow motion element, and it's also the case for the full screen element. So let me do that very quickly. Again, go to the base state. The background is here. I want to flip that, and the half hour we flip that as well. And the background, we're gonna change the colors. So to the resource, gradient, stroke. It's a bit of a stupid word, but well, you get the point. And over here, we used it again. And this is the pressed. Right. So now we have like fixed the template. We can change the colors. For instance, when we we're up in the template of the player again, and when I go to the resources now, and for instance, button gradient, I don't want this, but I want a solid color. Gonna choose change, and it's not changing. Let's run it. Yeah, and the colors of the buttons are already changed. So then all the buttons are changed. One of the things that you see in the description of the samples that's within the sample project is that it describes how to change the color, and after that there's a separate section how to change the volume button and how to change the slow motion button. Now by doing this, I have this all in one. So this is a bit more easy to change the colors on that. Okay, so I changed that, and of course, if I want to change the color of the background of this container, that's a separate background that's used here. You can use a gradient, or just set your own color here and really make it visible for the color blind. I don't know why, but well, something like that. So let's go back here. So these are the basics of the UI, and again, the top part of it is a fix. Just do that to make your life a bit easier by changing the colors afterwards. And the main action is at the bottom, change the button-based gradient and the pressed colors to make sure that you have your color scheme or and use that and the controller container. Now, next step is to change the layout and to have some interaction there. And one of the things I wanted to do, because you see a lot of players where you have a control strip that's on top of the video, maybe somewhere at the bottom of the video, and when you pause your mouse, it fades. And when you move it again, it comes back, and so you can do your settings there, or your play, or pause, etc. I wanted to do that in the framework. One of the things you need to understand is how the player, the layout of the player is done. If you go to the player root, you see that there are a number of rows here. It may be better to show in the XAML. You see there are some row definitions here. Most of them are automatic. So they will size depending on what's in the content of the XAML. So things can be changed in the UI by just setting the target row where you want the control to be shown. Now the control container, for instance, is by default in row 4. You see that here. But now I want to hover it over the video. I'll put it in row 0. And you see it's in the middle, and that's because there's a stretch alignment here. But when I do bottom alignment, it's at the bottom again. But now it's as overlay of the video. Now one of the things I want to do, I want to have it a bit higher, so make it like 40. And maybe I want margins at the side as well. So it's a bit more inside of the video instead of really as just a bar within the video. So I have a smaller control strip now. Another thing that I want to do is, by default, I wanted to make it invisible. So I give it 0% opacity. Now I want an animation that when I move my mouse cursor, it fades in. And it's there for some time. And after some time, it will fade out. So to do that, I'll just create a storyboard. Leave the default name there. That's fine. And let's say after 0.2 seconds... I'll select the controller container. After 0.2 seconds, I'll make that 100%. And let's say, just to visualize what happens after 2 seconds, I'll record a keyframe, so it stays 100%, and then after, let's say, half a second, I'll make it zero again. So just to show what this will do, go to the front and play it. So it will fade up, and it will fade out again. Now, of course, the animation is there, but it's not hooked to anything, so the animation won't play, so the control strip is not visible. Now, I can add some code for that, but I won't be doing that. I'll be using behaviors. Anyone already worked with behaviors? Only two or three? It's very powerful, because it's just code within a package, and you can use and just add some parameters there, and it will work. So you don't need any extra coding there. So in this case, I'll use the control storyboard action. I'll drag that to the player root of my player, because I want to enable to catch some events on the player root, on the complete player frame. On the right-hand side, I get the properties now of that behavior. It says, well, it's on player root, and it has selected event name for me, by default left button down, but I want to use the mouse move. And on the mouse move, I want to play storyboard one. Now you might say, why do you want mouse move? Because when you drag your mouse, you will get a lot of mouse move events. And I'll show you when I run the project. So now you see the video playing, and let me, you see it's the complete frame, and it disappeared again. When I enter my mouse, it's there. When I move my mouse again, you see that even when it fades out, it fades back again. And that's because I have the initial fading to 100% of opacity. And that's fired every time I move my mouse. So I'm sure that for 2 seconds, the control strip is visible. And of course, then I can pause and play and do the slow motion or et cetera. It's what you can do with the control strip. So this is a way to intervene or use the layout, change the layout of the basic player. Let's go back here again. So we've seen the grid is used for the basic layout with the number of rows, so you need to know where you want to position specific controls in those rows. For instance, you can do that also with the playlist. The playlist by default is on top of the control container, but if you want to have it at the top of your player window, it's just set the target row for that element, and it's placed there. That's also one of the samples that's shipped with the sample website. Use margins, so it's also when you resize the window that everything is in place and you don't use absolute positions and things like that. You can create storyboards and use behaviors. That's what we saw here. Now the next step is, and this really took me some time, to use your own controls and design. Now let me show you what I mean with that. Let me close the storyboard again. One of the things that you saw was that the playlist is a horizontal bar of with all the playlist items. I wanted to have a vertical bar. Now, of course, I can dig into the template of the playlist and change it there, but I wanted to have a clean start because there's a lot of stuff already there in the template. So how do you present a list of items normally in XAML? Well, you use a list box, right? So I'll just use a list box here. List box. Here it is. Just drawing it on the surface. There it is. Let me see here. No, and it's, let's say, 200 wide, there it is, and I want to have the background to be a bit more opacity, so it's an overlay of the video. And now I want to have the content in here. Now, one of the things that's powerful, of course, about the Silverlight platform is data binding. So I go to the items source here, item source, the collection of things that are showed within the list box. And I'll use template binding here and just bind it to the playlist. That's it. So the collection is here now. There's no design time support, so it won't show me any data now when I'm in the template. Now, one of the things I have to do is to define how each item looks like, because by default it will show the name of the class. You've probably seen that before. So I'll just select the list box, go into additional templates and the item template, create an empty one, leave the default name, that's fine. Now, by default, there's only a grid in here, so it doesn't show any information. I'll add an image here. There it is, and with the size of, let's say, 150 by 150, that's the image, and I also want to add a text block for the title of the video. So there's the text block, I'll leave the colors, etc., that's fine. And one of the things I want to change, the grid, I want to change it into a stack panel, so it's stacked on top of each other. So this is one item, an image with text, at the bottom of it. Now I need to do some data binding for the image to know where it can get the thumbnail. So for here I do the data binding on the source. Now there's no support here that I can see all the properties from the underlying classes. But I know that I have to use the thumb source. The rest is relative. And for the text, I'll use data binding, and I'll use the title. Okay. So now just let's run it and see what happens. Now you see the list is there, the data binding is there. I see all the items, but what you saw in the list in the normal playlist was that the current item was selected in the list, so you know which item is playing. And actually, when I select another item, it should play that other video. And it doesn't work. So how to hook that up? And here is, so whoever played with template parts? Just a few of you. I know of the term template parts, but it didn't mean anything to me up till now. When you look here in the player template, you see some of these controls. They have this strange icon here. I have no idea what it exactly is. It's something like a piece of a puzzle with a check mark on it or something. But that's the indicator icon that this is a template part. And templates and controls, they use template parts. So the code use template parts to define which parts are known within that control, and there's a link with it by name. So the code just looks for a template part by name, and it also has the definition of what is the minimal base class that's needed. For instance, it should be a button, or it should be a list or something. So that's the contract that's being made. Now, it might be very hard to find it out and what the name is and etc., but Blend makes it a bit easy for you. So here, again, I still have the list box. When I right-click on it, you see here, make into part of SMF player. When I open that up, you see all the parts that are available within this control. And in this case, I want to have the playlist selection element. When I select that, the only thing that's happening now is that the name is changed of the list box to playlist selection element, because that's defined by the control. And only by doing this, when I run the application again, oops, you see that the first video starts. The first video is also selected in the list. And when I select the next one, it starts the next video and it's there. So there's some data binding here, but it's very important to understand the template parts, because that's the real magic of binding the UI to the logic. Okay, let's stop this again. Another thing So this is just by using a standard control, but let's say when I go into design here, maybe you recognize the drawing. This is expression design. It's like Microsoft Paint Plus Plus or something. So I've done some drawing here, and I've drawn the YouTube player, most of it. Now let's say I want to have these visuals, because most of the time a visual designer will make the design of the player, and now as a developer you have to implement it into to the control. So how will you do that? Now one thing I thought of was, okay, I understand the thing about template parts, so I just bring in the visuals and make it into a template part and everything will work fine. So for instance I have another play element here. When I zoom in, you see there's a pause and a play icon, and it has some background. Now let's copy this into my clipboard. And this is a nice thing, by the way, of Expression Blend and Expression Design. They know how to communicate through XAML. So when I go here now to the player root. No, let's go to where the control container is and place it over there. I'll make the control container 100% again, so I know what I'm doing. And you see, here's the play element. So this is the standard play button, but I want to have my own play element here now. So I paste in the XAML. There it is. Play element copy, it says. When you look here, it's a canvas with a pause icon. Let me see if I can... make it a bit more visible. It's over there. That's it. Right. It's over here. No. Let's do it like this. Okay. There it is. Zoom in again. So here's the button that I just added. This is the visual that I got from Expression Design. First, I want the element to be in the other column where the play icon is, so it's here. And, no margin, and I want it to be at the top or something, or in the middle. Well, that's fine. Let's leave it like this then. So here's the icon. These are just drawings, and I want to make a play element out of it now. So I just right-click it, click it into part of the SMF player, select play element. Now for the play element, the name has to be play element, and the base type is a play element class because it has some extra functionality. So when I do this, okay, it says, well, it's another play element style, that's fine, okay. And here it is. So here's my new template with my drawings just gotten from Expression Design. By default, a content presenter is always added. So I just removed it now because I don't need it. There it is. Now, another thing that comes with a template with controls is that most of the time you also have different states because you have mouse over and things like that. So here you have a pause icon and a play icon. And, of course, I don't want them to be visible at the same time. So I'll hide the play icon, make that 0% opacity again. And only in a specific case, when I look down here, there are the play states. And when the play state is paused, I want the play icon to be visible. So make that 100%. And the pause icon will be invisible. Make that 0%. And maybe I want to have some nice transition as well. So I say here I'll use 0.2 seconds. When I switch on the preview, when I switch to playing or pause, you see the nice transition there, and it shows the other icon. Okay, so it looks fine, right? I have a play element with the visuals in it, and I have set the states. Now let's see what happens. Run the application. You see the icon here? It gets a bit of a mess, but you get the idea, right? So you see the icon here. Now the strange thing is that you see the pause icon. When I click on it, the video actually pauses. But the icon doesn't change. So I play and pause, so the button actually works, but the visual states are not working. So what's happening here? Let's stop the player. When we scope up again to the player, one thing to do is, if you have the default template, it's very nice to investigate what's happening there and how that control is doing its job. So I've selected the old play element now, and when I look at the XAML of that play element, no, that was not a smart move. Let's do it like this again. Oh, come on. And let's do it like this, a split. Yes. So here you see the old one, the smooth, the play element. And there's an extra thing here where you have a template binding for the play state. That's the thing that when the play state changes, it changes the state within the button. So, but when I go here to my newly created play element and search for that property, play state, it's not here. So it's not available in Blend. So how can I make this work? Well, just go to the old one, copy the play state part. There it is. Copy, go to the new play element, and just paste it in here. And when I run it now, there it is. And when I pause it, you go to play state and you go to pause state. So this made me think, would it be a wise decision to start completely with visuals and then start switching them to template parts to create your own thing? I haven't investigated yet. I think it has to do that there are some tags missing in the code, so Blend can see it in this property pane. You need to do some extra for that. So the property is there in code, but it's not in Blend. There's no clue for Blend to show it. Yeah, that could be. But the thing is, when I dug more into other controls, for instance, let me see, what's it again? Well, you have a lot of things beyond the defaults that are bound in these controls. So I found that the best way to modify the template is by using the standard controls in the standard template, get into the template, and just remove that visuals and hook it up there. Because then you have all the bindings necessary for the control from the template, and so it will work automatically, and you just insert your own visuals. The only thing that you might need to do is that you might need to change your container, so you have a different look and feel or different sequence of the controls. Yes. So this is about using your own controls and design. Again, templates parts is very important. Templates parts is a definition of what is the base control and what is the name of that control, and that's the link for communication with the rest of the logic. Data binding is used, so data bind with template binding most of the time, because you're in a template, so it gets its information from the outside world. There's little design time support. Some things are there, but a lot of things you don't see in the design time in your dialogues, etc., in Blend. So you need to do some manual things here and there, like I did with the title and the thumb source, for instance. And the thing that I found was better not start with visuals only, but place your design in the existing controls. That will save you a lot of time and will get you much faster up to speed. Okay, so we've talked about Silverlight. The subject of the name of the session was video on the web, desktop, and phone. Well, we already covered the web, and because Silverlight can be taken out of browser on the desktop, you also have your player on the desktop. The other thing is Windows Phone. How does it work with Windows Phone? And I have only 16 minutes left, so is this very hard? Well, actually, it's pretty simple. Let's close this one. start up a new blend session. Now let's create a new project. And of course we'll create a Windows Phone project. I'll just use the default Windows Phone application, leave all the defaults, okay. So this is the default template. I'll remove the title pane and the content panel because I won't be needing them. I just want my video. One thing I need to do if I do this by hand is add the references to the right assemblies of the player framework. So I add reference here. By default, so it's now in the right directory. By default, it's on program. I'll show it here. Program files, Microsoft SDKs, Microsoft Silverlight Media Framework, and then the version, etc. So when you go down there, it's pretty easy where it is. And you actually have to use most of these things, of these assemblies. So you need the compatibility phone, the core phone, the utilities, the plugins for the phone. You can make your selection here if you want to use timed text. So that's for the captioning. I don't want that. And you can also make your selection if you want to use progressive or smooth streaming. When you have a progressive element video on your mobile, on your phone, you can also play that with the player framework. Well, select these ones and say OK. Because I added smooth streaming, I also need the IIS smooth streaming assembly. So I add another reference. Go back to the SDKs, and here's the IIS Smooth Streaming Clients, version 1.5, Windows Phone, and here's the Smooth Streaming logic. So this is the logic that makes sure that it changes to the right quality of the video, etc. So now I have all the assemblies in place. When I go to Assets, it loads up the assets, and when I search here for SMF Player, here's the control again. Now I can draw it on my canvas. One of the things I want to do with video is that most of the time you want to orientation. No. Oh, that's the wrong one. I need to do it here. Sorry. Orientation. There it is. I want to set it to landscape because a video you won't want to show it like that, but you want to have the full video landscape. And the SMF player itself, I want to have it, I don't want to use any margins, so no margins. And it's fully stretched horizontally and vertically. Another thing I want to add is one playlist item. So add another item, there it is. Now I need a link for that, that's in here. That's on the web. So that won't work. Okay. Let's see if it will work with my own local video. The thing is that you need a smooth streaming because it's on a small device and you have a small bandwidth. You need to be careful with the number of bandwidths you will have over the wire for smooth streaming for the phone. Now there's a way to adapt that. Since smooth content /. This is the first time I ever typed this this URL. No, it is not true. Funny. Let's try it. Okay, it's there. Now let's run it, and it will compile and it will start the emulator. Well, the video won't play. Okay, so the video won't play, but you get the idea, right? So you have the player here, you have the controls here, and when the video plays and you click on it, well, the controls disappear and you just see the video. And again, with the smooth streaming, it will get the optimal quality for your situation at that moment. And for the rest, the styling and things like that are the same as we've seen before. So these are just controls, so I can edit template here again, edit the copy, player style, just put it in the page now, that's fine. So I have the controls here, the control container, the link with the template parts here. So all the same stuff applies here. So you can do the same styling as you want here. Of course, when you're going to work with the styling on the phone, best is to be as close to the Metro design for phone as possible, because then it will be as easy for the user to understand what's happening. But of course, if you want to have some special things or maybe add a logo or something, you can add that in your design. So, yeah, so the question is, there are less template parts in here, and that's true, and that's because there are less functionality in the phone player itself, because it's a bit smaller. So I don't know if there's a...
There's no playlist?
There's no playlist here, no.
I haven't
dug into that yet, but I have no idea if you can actually add it. Let's add a list box. Let's try it. List box. There it is. Like this, and then make into parts. Playlist selection element. Sounds promising. So it's playlist parts. Let's see what happens. Go.
No, you need to make a data template for your site.
Yes. It will show the name. No, it doesn't show the name.
Maybe because your playlist...
Yeah, it's not visible. So it's...
it's very Spartan compared to the Silverlight standard player you get.
Yes, but you're also in a smaller environment. So it's more focused on playing one video and not have a complete player with all the things there. So that's understandable that it's a bit more limited to what's standard there in the player. But again, because of the templates parts and things, you can make your own player there and make it work for your situation.
Do you know of any catches here for the templates that you did with the
Silverlight? Well, that's actually the same thing. So it's for the rest, it's the same structure. So it uses the data binding and the template binding and stuff like that. And best will be to pick your standard controls and go from there and change the visuals if you want to change it. Another question there.
Does it play the same media types as normal media player?
So question is, if it plays the same media types, it does not play all the same media types, because the number of protocols and codecs on the phone are limited compared to Silverlight on the web. There's a link out there that describes which ones are available there. By default, in the current build, Smooth will do very fine because it's over HTTP. Other things like MMS won't work on your phone. Yeah, so it has a smaller resolution. Otherwise, what will happen if you have bigger resolutions for the desktop? It will download the bigger resolutions, and it will have a lot of time just to get the lowest resolution over the line. So you need a much smaller resolution for starting very fast on the phone.
Well, my finding was that if it has different resolutions, it won't even play on the phone.
Yeah, so what you can do with Smooth Streaming, you can have multiple resolutions, and say for a phone application you want to have the lower stack of the available bit rates, and for the web use the higher stack of bit rates.
Manifest that has that.
Yeah.
The phone player won't play it.
Okay, I didn't try that. So let's take that offline, right? No, but come to me after the session and can see if I can help there. But again, this was on the styling of the template, so it actually works the same as we've seen before, with the same things that apply there. So same concept as the web. use it, it's preferred to use in landscape. Also what I've seen when you use it in portrait mode and even maybe use a smaller video, it will play and it will scale, but it will go not that smooth as you use the full screen because it has to do some translation of the video as well. Use smooth stream, which is suitable for the device, and it's limited codec support currently. And I have no idea if it will change with Mango or versions after that. So the future of the player framework. They're currently working on, if you have any requests or bugs or questions, go to the Codeplex website. There's an issue tracker there, and you can add your issues or go to the discussion forum and post your questions there, and the team will respond to you there. They're currently into planning phase for the next versions of the player framework. Two major things they're working on or they're preparing for. One is Silverlight 5 support. Silverlight 5, the beta was released 2 weeks ago at MIX. And once that's released, that will also be used by the player framework. That will bring, for instance, H.264 hardware acceleration to your desktop. So you have a much smoother playing of that kind of content. And you can even go easily up to 1080p. Silverlight 5 will also support trick play. That means you've seen the things like slow motion and fast forward and jumps in blocks. But trick play will actually, you can play the video a lot faster. But the pitch of the voices will be at the same level. So for instance, when you have this corporate talk where someone goes like blah, 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 you can just speed up the play rate. You see the video faster. And it just goes like blah, 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 blah. Well, then it's you can go home earlier. And Silverlight 5 is also support for remote control. And they're also working on HTML5 support. Now, HTML5 has the video tag. And that video tag doesn't support a lot. There's no streaming. There's no live streaming. There's no smooth streaming. But for the standard things where you want to have a consistent look and feel and have a progressive download that can be played within that environment, they will make sure that there's a consistent look and feel with the Silverlight version. Of course, when you change that UI, you need to change it for HTML5 as well. They will have fallback scenarios. So, for instance, try first to play the HTML5 part, but if you don't support HTML5, we'll go to Silverlight. Or start with Silverlight, but if you don't have Silverlight, we go to HTML5, things like that. So they're in planning phase for that now. And of course, HTML5 support will have limited functionality because of the limitation of the platform. And that was the presentation about the player framework. Are there any questions? So the question is, are there standard skins you can download or themes? The only ones available there are the ones now out of the box. I haven't seen any templates on the web for the player framework yet, but might be a good idea. Yeah. Start your own one.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, then I thank you for coming here and enjoy the rest of Dev Days.
Ik dacht van Nederland voor.